Today's podcast with Laura Langman is sponsored by Origin, powered by Good Energy. Hi, NetFitters. Just quickly before you jump into today's podcast, I wanted to apologize for the echo in our voices as we had a little bit of a technology malfunction from our normal podcast equipment. And because Laura's is such a busy lady with the start of Suncorp Super Netball, we decided to go directly to Zoom and capture all of her interesting insights to share with you guys today. Just to give you the warning and heads up before you jump into today's show. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Touching Base with the legend herself, Laura Langman. Hey, Lawsy, how you doing today?
Good, thanks, Izzy. How are you?
I'm good. Finally, we got this working. We tried a podcast, but we thought, why not just bring it to a Zoom? And Lawsy, it's good of you to join us after the big game yesterday. How are you feeling? And just tell us what it's like to be back on court.
Yeah, it's been a real roller coaster ride. I think everybody, whether you play elite netball or you play community netball, you know the feeling of having played your first game. So I felt like even when we were in the change room, I felt like there was still a window for things to change. So it wasn't until we had the first centre pass and really got into our work that it was just, man, the amount of work that has gone into getting our league underway from so many different parties has been massive. So as a player, we can't thank them enough. There's no better day of the week than game day.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's been amazing just the lead up, because people were even questioning would it go ahead the whole league, and then they threw in two-point shots. So there's been so many different varieties. Just tell us what it was like on game day. How did the two-point shot go? What did the crowds think? What was it like hearing all the feedback? Was it a success?
Yeah, well, there's been a lot of banter actually on socials around how the two-point shot saved the Lightning and how the Lightning must love the two-point shot. Look, I think it adds another element to the game. I thought the Firebirds had a really great strategy around their two-point shot. So that was interesting to see as well. I think it's just another dimension to the game. If the five-point shot, and don't quote me, two-point shot wasn't in the game, I think the score would have been 58-55. So it's amazing how, that would have been a close game. And I wonder what the tension would have been on both sides if the scoreline had stayed like that versus blowing out to 66-48. Yeah. So, look, I think it's wonderful seeing the shooters on show. Like, they are spectacular specimens, aren't they? The strong rebounding under the post. And I think why not throw it in probably for a COVID year where we've got to be ready for anything. I'll be interested to see today's games. Obviously, as a midi, it doesn't really affect me. My job still stays the same, get unstressed ball into the shooters and watch them do their thing. From a shooters, we've said to ours, you make the call. If you're feeling you've got it today, if not, we'll find a way. So, yeah, it was interesting. And I think if people actually go back and look at what the score would have been without the two-point shot, it's amazing how a three-goal margin can give team motivation and make a team that's leading feel a little bit more tense. So, yeah. I think it's going to be a great debate the whole season.
Yeah, I think so too. What I was seeing yesterday, lots of people were loving it. And then when that sort of stat was thrown out, it makes you really question it again. What I loved, I saw Janelle Fowler take one of the first shots she had from the two-point range and just nail it. And I just thought, well, there you go to the critics that think that it is just a tall goal game. So it's just exciting and great to try something new, as you said, in ISO where everything's being turned upside down. And Lawsy, we can't thank you enough. You're a net fitter through and through from nearly the very beginning. You've been spiteful. Pilates are a burn, I'm telling you. Everyone's message is like, completed Lawsy's Pilates, can't walk the next day.
That's so great.
I know.
That's cool. Because I didn't you would be the same. We do so much of that stuff in prehab, but it's... it's just so good to do on a rainy day or when you're feeling a bit flat, that's a session you can do. So I didn't really know like what targets like throw out there. So it's cool to feel like we might have hit it. So that's really cool feedback. Thank you.
Yeah, and you are getting feedback. Are you loving when NetFitters tag you in their workouts?
Oh, I do. I do. I love it. I love the ones and the dog comes in and then sits right under their feet and she's like tapping her toes on the dog's head and then going back to tabletop. I just love it. I just think it's fabulous.
I know. Well, you've kept us going and thank you for continually like keeping these workouts that we actually can feel like we're at home, but we're working out to your level. And that's what today's chat is all about, is the good energy that we can bring to such probably a dark and sort of interesting time. So Lawsy, today we just want to pick your brain about a few things that we can take to community netball from all of your learnings. And one of the cool questions that we talked about from socials that come through that people want to hear is about, I guess, you as a real athlete and finding out how what you've learned we can put into our game. So one of the questions our NetFit community had was, what is the hardest bit of advice or criticism you received and how did it help your game?
Yeah, that was a really great question. I was thinking about that this morning when I was swimming. The hardest bit of criticism was probably for me was around my transition into centre at the elite level. I obviously came from a very defensive background, so having to learn, I'm a very manufactured attacking player, and it does not faze me one bit now to say that. But when I was younger, I used to get worked up because you do just want to be the best and you just want to help the team. So I had to learn, I essentially had to learn how to attack. But the best piece of advice I had got was, as a centre, you're essentially the PVA glue. So you stick the two ends together. And you're the supporting actress down the attack end. So every now and then you're required to do a feed. So, and every now and then the conditions have to be right for you to be able to get that heads down pass or thread the needle pass. Like those opportunities for us, or for me in particular, because I wasn't natural at that, come once in a blue moon or come every few games. And I think at the start, I was always searching and I was trying to manufacture the conditions so I could get a good feed in and feel good about myself. But I think, yeah, it was pretty much learning and being okay with what my role was down the attacking end. And it's absolutely okay to just give the beige feed 99 times out of 100. Because at the end of the day, when you've got possession in hand, they don't. And every time you put a feed in, you're giving your team the opportunity to score. And for me, that's how games are won, by opportunities to get goals or feeds. So I probably, the criticism was around my lack of ability to feed. But I kind of took that on board with, yep, I need to know, I need to be able to let the ball go. But I also need to be able to read the conditions and feed to what the conditions are that are presenting me. So, look, I'm probably, I'm still the beige attacker, I would describe myself. But over my years, I've kind of gotten better at reading the conditions and working ways to get the ball into the circle that is unstressed. Like, that is the best ball you can give a shooter, that it's you've made the ball do the work and it's unstressed and they get it without getting absolutely smashed up, so they can relax and put up a shot. So, yeah, that would probably be me.
That's it. That's a great takeaway is, you know, we all think about as mid-quarters our role, but really we're playing a role to deliver it to the princesses, the goalers, to shoot the shot and get the game won for us. So, no, it's
yeah.
Feedback. And we do get those questions a lot. You know, coaches have made players go out of position, try a new position in crucial times of their career. And here we go. That's how it's done. So, Lawsy, another question that really, I guess, is asked and thought about a lot in teams. There's always a couple of people that are super committed. I mean, at your level, at, you know, international super netball level, everyone's in it. It's been a hard slog to even get a position. But if you've ever been in a team with someone that's not putting in or not probably training as hard as what the team's expected, how do you deal with that? Because that happens from elite level all the way down. Just if people aren't just hitting the expectation of what the team's wanting.
Yeah, it's tricky. And usually you kind of it's a distraction for yourself and for the team. And sometimes there's so many ways you can kind of deal with it, and you can approach it from a team perspective in terms of discussing, you know, what are your standards for training? Like I remember a session we did, and we got asked, what is on time? What is on time? Like turning up just like at 6 when you start training, or is it turning up 5 minutes before? Is on time turning up, being strapped, having your drink bottles full? So that was a really interesting concept straight off the bat that, you know, I was like, oh yeah, I'm always on time. But actually, what is on time? So sometimes actually elaborating on those things that you think is really clear and getting what is going to be your understanding for your group is key. The other thing, probably from an individual perspective, is you can't control what that player may be doing, or we're unaware of what their situation may be on or off the court. So I always just bring it back to myself and think, okay, what do I need to do to be able to do my job on court? And as long as you're doing your job, you're going to have maybe more capacity to either help out or assist somewhere else. So yeah, it can be a really big distraction in terms of at a team level and an individual level, especially if it could be a player who's got real natural talent, which is, you know, something we kind of faced in New Zealand and may get the start. But I guess at the end of the day, as long as you're ticking all the boxes, doing everything you can, and putting your hand up at training, you can't ask any more for yourself. And you sometimes that's just how it rolls, and it's really unfortunate. But and I think that's what's so great about NetFit, how we always encourage other sports and other interests. So if something's not quite going right in netball at this point in time, you may decide, oh look, I'm gonna put my thought over here, or you're gonna switch off for a bit and do something different. So yeah, that's a really hard question.
Yeah, and answered really well, Laws, because I think it's something that people do start to do. You start to, your mind drifts to the things that are out of your control, and but it does affect you because it is a team. But continually, yeah, is ISO as it is, there's so much of unknown. All we can really do, and a part that you said there as well, is the compassion. I mean, what is going on in their world that maybe it is a check-in, but if it's constant and it's frustrating, it's actually frustrating. So it's really cool, great bits of advice. And you sort of leave it to the coaches, which kind of leads to my next question, Laws. And it's something that you've had some great coaches over the years, from the Ferns all the way to Swifts and into the Lightning. And what is the best coaching mantra or the best philosophies that you as a player look to a coach and think, I hope all grassroots coaches have this with kids?
Yeah. Oh, when I read this question, I immediately reflected on our 2019 World Cup campaign. And look, everyone's probably sick of hearing about it, but like when I re-entered the environment, I'd openly say that it was very discouraged. Confidence was really low. And the players were quite disheartened. And the best thing that Knowles and Deb did for our group leading into World Cup was they wanted players to know, what are they good at? What are you good at? Tell me what you're good at. It's really difficult for people to say it, because we're so tuned to being able to list what we have to work on. So I think that's something that I go do our NetFit sessions, I ask the girls, like, what do you think you'll get at? Like, what's your bread and butter? What are you good at? What do you enjoy doing on court? And that brings out kind of like the joy factor and immediately kind of lifts the confidence. We're always going to know those things that we need to work on. We're always going to see it in video. But it's a matter of chipping away at those things. But the better we get at what we're good at and developing the conditions that suit what we're good at, you're going to have a great time on court. So that's what I honestly, hand on heart, and I get quite passionate, you know what I'm like here, is ask your players, what are you good at? Like, tell me what you're good at. Because they'll get all like, oh, I don't know, nothing. Like, and they are good at, like, you know, you've got the people's natural personalities come out when you play sport, and that's what you're good at. So I can't hammer it enough. That's probably the best thing, I think, of having been in a coaching group. I've been asked what I'm good at and reflecting on it often.
Amazing. It's so true. And as juniors, if you're tuning in and you're thinking about that now and you are in the boat where you think, yeah, I don't know what I'm good at, like now work at it. And Laws, I've never forgotten what you said about, you know, your game and how you realized the style that you played required a high level of fitness and you just owned that and you made it your strength. And that's something you can work on. You weren't born with that, Laws. So ISO is a great time for the young netballers out there to take that on as one of their newborn strengths.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah. So Laws, a couple more questions for you. This one is really about when we get back onto court next year. Now, the goal, you've got a minute to go on the siren. Scores are level.
Oh, yes.
You've been in many of these positions before. Also Super Netball. What goes through your mind and how can we think like Laura Langman?
Yeah, look, I'm not going to be sharing any groundbreaking news. A minute to go is a long time in netball. So if it's a centre pass for me, it's literally when I'm jogging back to the circle, in my head I'm going, what's my role? What's my role? On repeat, honestly, the whole game. Get the centre pass away. Get the centre pass away. Get the ball on circle edge. And that's all I think about is what is my job?
Yeah.
And you just work your tail off until you do your job. So I think we potentially could have been in that situation in the World Cup final. Yeah, lots of teams, and I think it'll happen this year in Super Netball. Obviously, the last 5 minutes is 2-point goal, so you might see teams work to keep possession. So if you're defending that, my job is first phase, centre pass pressure, and then the second phase switch with my wing D is crucial. So in that last minute, I might be over the top with my communication to be extra crystal clear. So it's nothing groundbreaking. It's literally do your job, do it well, and do it to the best of your ability for that last 60 seconds because anything can happen.
Yeah, absolutely. It's kind of, as much as you say it's not groundbreaking, I think it is because people say the hardest thing in life is to do things with simplicity. And I think that in so many areas, it's easy to get busy and start to get creative and heaps of things going on. But the hardest thing to do in pressure times is to keep the basics really well. So that's another great bit of advice. On that note, it might be the World Cup. I don't know. But if you've got a win that you've got the most learnings from, enjoyment, learnings, is there a game in mind you've got that you'd love to share?
Yeah. Do you know what's funny is it's not World Cup. It's actually, and why I want to share this is because, so it's the Delhi 2010 final. And I was, I threw away a centre pass that literally could have cost the team the game. And I would encourage you to go watch it. I threw it straight to Monia. I could have died 1,000 lives. but it's that ability to be like, oh, shivers, bugger, like getting on D because you know your mates are scrambling as well. And I think we managed to turn it over and get that one back. And we went into double overtime. And I think it's that was the perfect example, I think, of fear of failure. But when I passed it away, I immediately thought, I've stuffed it for us. And then I was like, I remember thinking, get on D! snap out of it really quick. But I think, you know, that takes sometimes in some players, it takes a while to train that. You know, you'll see the dropped head, the jogging to catch up. But as soon as I had done it, I knew what it meant for the team. And, oh, my gosh, like, I couldn't believe I had done it. But within a split second, I think I was on D like I could not remember. And I think we got a howl ball or I think we got something. But we got it back, thank heavens. But it's those moments learning. You want to be in pressure moments and, mate, things are going to go wrong in pressure moments sometimes, but it's not actually what happens, it's how we react. So that's my moment, my most memorable moment. And I think I probably would have been my most memorable moment if we had lost as well because I would have fluffed it. But, yeah, that's it. Oh, my gosh, that is the – I think the game nearly went for 90 minutes, that final.
Never forget it. And it's funny, Laws, when you said that, the memorable moments when you sort of look back and you're probably not that you're one to put your trophies on the wall. I can't imagine that, but you're memorable for the wins. But I even remember, like, there was one game for me and I was playing for the Swifts and we were playing the Anzac Day match against Steel. And there was so much hype and so much broke on the first centre pass. Like, these things stick with you. And then I don't think I'm broke.
Oh, yeah.
You just...
No. I think it might have been that day that I learned, like, what's a role? Get the centre pass away. And it sounds easy, but, like, Jesus, it can be complex. I think I got, like, 3 hard balls yesterday. But there's 4 people to throw to, Lord. Just pick one.
And isn't that true? Like, so if you guys are listening out there and you've made mistakes or you make mistakes in a game, I mean, the best thing you can do is shake it off straight away and get on with it. But just use them for the memories and use them for the next way you'll do things next time. Lawsy, the very last question I've got for you now, it's more about what we're doing in ISO. You're back there playing, you've got your teammates around you and we love watching you and we love following you. The Sunny Coast on Instagram. They do such a great job of keeping us updated with what you're up to. But what advice do you guys have for us that we're here and the season's not continuing? If you were like this and you were in lockdown in Victoria, what would you do each day to make sure you got your fix?
I reflect back when we were kind of on lockdown and I picked just a few things that I wanted to work on, like my ISO goals, like what did I want to nail? So like one of them was my handstand push-ups. I wanted to be able to do them consecutively and I want to be able to do them from the ground, not from a towel. So as cheesy as it sounds, I reckon set little goals for yourself and, you know, we've got the awesome planners now on the comeback challenge. And you can set your intentions for the day and then write down what you did. I think those are small things, but they help so much. I think too, Skyping a buddy to work out, kind of when you have appointments, it keeps you accountable and it's an easy thing to do. So you can set each other up on the laptop and you can go hard. I would set some goals. If you know you kind of struggle to work out by yourself, get a mate, get Skype going, get Facebook Messenger going. And even if you start with 3 times a week, you can layer it. So 3 then turns into 4 and then 4 turns into 5 and 5 turns into 6 and then you always got to have a rest day. So, reach out, I'd say. You know, and ask any, it doesn't have to be someone who plays netball. You know, you ask anyone from all different backgrounds because it's physical activity, I think, is a massive, massive help with our mental state. I certainly know when I need a good blowout, I always feel so much better after it.
Yeah, so true. I mean, on your day off today, open water swim, is that like a rest for you? How many?
Yeah, a bit of compression in my wetsuit. We try to do 2K on the weekend, so it's nothing great. It's not fast, but it's just meeting up with friends, doing a different sport. It's just refreshing. And doing something different sometimes is just as good as a break.
Yeah, so true. And Laws, my very last question for you, I'm putting you on the spot here. This wasn't briefed in an Instagram message to you last night. Who are you going to play in the grand final of SSN this year?
Oh, gosh. I really think Vixens are due for a win. They've got, I think, a very, very balanced squad. I think they're going to go all the way. Ian and my favourite team outside Lightning. So, yeah, I'm backing the Vixens.
Really?
I know. Yeah, I am. I really am. I think they're going to absolutely kill this 2-point shot. And sometimes, you know, I watch their training videos, I'm like, are they on fast forward? Like, they're so quick. I just clinical, quick, and they execute. That's how I describe them.
That's awesome. Well, I know there's a lot of Melburnians that follow NetFit. In fact, that's really who I hope is going to be listening to this today because we are in lockdown, Laws, and we're going to use this podcast as motivation for us today to get through another week. And then at NetFee, we've got something very special up our sleeves that's coming for everybody after the comeback challenge. But we've got one more week to go. We're going to smash it out, and I'm going to probably do my Pilates tomorrow.
Yes, kuka.
All right, see you, Lawsie.
Bye.
Thank you for tuning into today's NetFit podcast. Thanks to Origin Energy. If you enjoyed today's podcast with Laws and myself, please let us know. We would love to hear from you. And don't forget, you can find us on social media. You can screenshot the podcast, share it with your netball community, and make sure everyone jumps on and listens to the amazing takeaways of the great Laura Langman. In the meantime, have a fantastic week. I know it's tricky out there, but we are with you all the way.